for 7 years by a data scientist at Columbia University shows it is okay to marry your first cousin, as long as your children do not also marry their first cousins. It's from Birmingham, Alabama. Big surprise.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
The headline's disturbing, but like genetically I thought it kind of made sense. I've always heard that a little bit of inbreeding is good for the bloodlines. I always thought that first cousin was a little bit too close. I thought the sweet spot was second cousin, third cousin type of thing.
Oh, God.
On 1340 WKGN.
Everything's fine in moderation, even inbreeding. You just don't want too much. It's like cauliflower. A little bit's good for you. I can bang my cousin, but my kid can't bang his cousin.
All right, you got any more headlines? Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Reviews are coming in. Fire the interns.
Yes.
If two people are tied for first, the next is still third, not second. I don't know how you put up with these idiots every day. Pruitt lost a game in which he was a 21-point underdog. Fire his ass now. I think that was sarcasm.
Yeah. Jeez.
Thought we had somebody going our way.
And they simple quit being a dumbass at Hayden Wallen. Reviews are coming in. Good job, guys. Keep it up. Hour two headlines. Draven, what do you got for us?
We're going to start off with our NFC, AFC Players of the Week, Kyler Murray.
Who cares about the Players of the Week? You always do this. Who cares about the Players of the Week?
I think it's a cool thing just to do every Wednesday, announce Players of the Week, give them a little credit. You know what? Forget it.
If you want to give it, just go ahead. I mean, just Kyler Murray, it sounds like, is one of them.
Kyler Murray.
AFC is going to be.
Yeah, let's hear your guesses. Let's hear your guess.
All right, let's think. AFC.
Offensive player.
Always. They never give the defense player any love. Let's see. Not going to be right from the Chiefs. Not going to be right from the Steelers. Not going to be anybody from the Titans. The Ravens didn't play. It's not going to be Baker, is it?
You're right.
Oh, my goodness.
Baker. Baker Mayfield. 297, five touchdowns.
How about that?
AFC Player of the Week. Started out 0 for 5 and only.
How about the big brain?
One incompletion the rest of the game. I mean, come on. He had a great game. That was obvious.
Was it obvious?
It was either him. Oh, who else?
It was obvious. It was obvious because I believe just a minute ago you said, I'd like to see you guess. That's exactly what you said. I'd like to. Go ahead and guess it.
Who else would it be?
Then it was obvious when I got it right.
Who else would it be?
Well, I just went
through. Who else had a good game?
Well, I just went through the list. I said no Titans. Although you could have given it to A.J. Brown. If they win, they'd probably give it to A.J. Brown.
Yeah, maybe.
He had six catches, like 153 yards.
You gotta win, though.
Well, I understand. That's why I said if they win.
Devin Watt, defensive NFC Player of the Week.
Which is kind
of
stupid. I mean, he would have had the same exact game.
Yeah.
It's not his fault they lost.
No. But still. All these guys won, I guess.
I'll tell you who didn't get Special Teams Player of the Week. It was Guskowski. He did not get Special Teams Player of the Week.
He did not. It was Byron Pringle. For the AFC. He returned a kickoff.
Jeez, I saw that.
Yeah. And then how about Johnny Hecker with all those punts inside the 20? What a weapon. What a weapon a good punter is, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, five punts inside the 20.
It's been nice having Brett Kern, and it's been awful having Paxton Brooks. No offense to him, if he's listening.
So this trade rumors going around, it's getting a little bit exciting. I'm kind of expecting some sort of big trade. You kind of mentioned this during the break. Takaris McKinley, your boy Cam, not going to be active for Thursday night, tomorrow night. So looking like
he's been injured all year, anyways.
Trade talks have increased. You mentioned they didn't pick up his fourth year option.
His fifth year, we didn't take his fifth year option.
And
we're really good at missing on defensive linemen in the first round.
Well, Grady Jarrett, what run was he?
Like third. Mm. Yeah, he was a third rounder. So he's a stud. But yeah, no, we like Vic Beasley. He was good for 1 year. We got 1 year out of him. Yeah, he led the league in sacks. That was a good year. Glad we actually did something with that year. But, outside of that, no, we're really bad at first-round linemen.
Yeah.
Speaking of trade rumors, apparently Stephon Gilmore has put his house up for sale.
Ooh. Nice.
Speaking of that, though, Bill Belichick, which Bill Belichick's not going to give into it or say anything about it, but he did say when asked about the trade rumors, I don't know anything about those. So, interesting. interesting stuff.
I guess also we had the Jets, Adam Gay saying Quentin Williams is not on the trade market and will not be traded, which means go ahead and get ready to trade him because Adam Gase is alive.
Yep. Pretty much. The whole not going to change, giving up play calling, and then he finally gave up play calling. Yeah. So, yeah, Tack McKinley, Quentin Williams, a couple big defensive linemen. Stephon Gilmore, he might be the biggest name, but also what's really getting interesting is this whole Michael Thomas situation. Like, what the hell is going on? Sean Payton asked if there are any updates on Michael Thomas. No, no updates. No injury updates. Not practicing. Not really doing anything. Hamstrings still bother him. I don't know. There's really no information on him. It's kind of a weird situation going on down in New Orleans with their star wide receiver who they just paid big money. So
I love the turmoil.
Yeah, it's
what happens when you have a diva receiver that cries about everything.
And also punching teammates and being, you know, probably being an issue. Yeah. So do we expect
Marquez Callaway, baby?
Somebody stole his slant route in practice, and he just got upset.
Do we expect Michael Thomas to be moved? I mean, this contract, his contract's ridiculous, and I don't know what team would pick that up. But it's kind of interesting that no injury updates, no word on the guy. And you would say last year Michael Thomas is what, their second best player, maybe even first with right there with Alvin Kamara.
He was better than Kamara last year.
Yeah, I mean, he broke the catching record. So
yeah, and Kamara was hurt last year. So right. Michael Thomas was their best player. I mean, you asked who would trade for him. The contract's big, but, I mean, Michael Thomas was still thought of as a top three receiver in the league before he got hurt. So, you know, the Raiders.
Ooh, was he?
I mean, he was thought of as a top three receiver. I don't know if he is a top three receiver, but he was thought of as a top three receiver. Yeah. I mean, he's thought of as the best.
No, yeah. That was the argument. Was he the best receiver in the NFL?
Right.
Especially after last year.
It was no, was the answer.
So you do think a team would trade for him in that contract?
I mean, I think so. I'm sure it's out clauses. I mean, they're not. Cause, I mean,
yeah,
like,
there's probably some way, maybe around it, some way to not have to pay his full guaranteed money.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Saints have already played probably a chunk of that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But there would be somebody who would still be willing to trade for him, I would say. I don't know who it would be.
I would recommend he retires.
How do you go from best wide receiver like this to... It's almost like AB, right?
You'd be a crybaby. You'd be a diva crybaby.
AB all over again. This is AB round two. Kind of feels like that.
Well, we still haven't heard him say anything, though.
That's what's weird about
him. So he's not AB. He's just beat his teammates' ass in practice. He's just mad at the team. I don't know. He's got...
Did they lock him out of his Twitter?
He hasn't tweeted, right? So, I mean, like, he's usually pretty vocal.
Been,
like,
yeah, there's not been any word from him.
I won't call him the next AB just because AB was, like, on a real destructive path. And, like, we got a front row seat to it with Michael Thomas. Like, half of it's injury, and then now it's just kind of like the Saints might just be done with him. Like, the Saints are winning without him. Maybe they look at him as just a distraction, and they're just like, hey, we got Callaway here. And
Callaway.
And they might also,
up.
Honestly, they might also look at that contract and be like, oh, man, that was a mistake. Because, like, if Breeze retires and we just paid Kamara, like, we got a lot of money tied into skill players, so maybe let's just go ahead and use this as an excuse to cut ties.
He hasn't tweeted in a couple days.
I think the more weird thing, though, is the fact that Sean Payton has no updates. It's your star player. He's got a hamstring issue, and they ask him about it, and he's just like, yeah, I don't know. Or he's just like, no comment. I don't know. He just had pretty much no response on that. So, really interesting, really weird. And I'm curious if, man, what a big move that would be. What a big trade that would be. Shifting over to the NBA. NBA is going to be started up, but players don't seem too happy about it. There's been a couple of players voicing their opinions that the December 22nd date was way too soon to start, trying to start before
Christmas.
Training
camp would start December 1st.
Right, and there's been a lot of players, and even Danny Green said that, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of players not even playing, or a lot of starters, star players, not going to be playing the first couple of months because of this, because of the lack of
He said LeBron wouldn't show up for the first month, and I think that is a little extreme. And if I'm LeBron, I'm like, hey, Danny Green, you don't speak for me, bro. Like, don't put my name in this and get me in a controversy that I'm not even a part of.
No kidding. But LeBron himself did think the December 22nd date was way too soon as well. He was one of those people. I mean, it's been kind of voiced around the league. I mean, is this a concern? Because the NBA, we know, lost a lot of money with the whole pandemic. And, you know, the bubble was a success, but still.
They said it's like a $300 million hit. Or like it's a $300 million, it might have been more than that,
right?
Of a difference if they can get started before Christmas. Like the money that they can get from the Christmas Day.
But if you don't have your star players playing on Christmas Day, then that's not going to help you any, right?
Yeah,
that
the would Hawks be a Christmas Day game.
Pretty problematic there. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to be looking at, see what NBA players are going to be sitting out the first couple of months. Do you think this is too soon for the players? Because they did have – the long, you know, summer break where they didn't have any basketball going on during the pandemic, and then we got started back up, so they did have kind of that off season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm telling them if I'm the NBA. Like, hey, guys, you just had like a, you know, 2 month stretch after a 3 month layoff. Like, mm-hmm. you've still gotten 5 months off. And then the Lakers, I mean, the problem with them is they just got finished a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So for them, they're like, hey, that's going to be that's basically going to be less than 2 months off. Like, for them, I understand the frustration, but is it not always kind of that way? I mean, you get done in June and you're back up at it in, I guess, not till October. So it's that's more of a layoff. Okay. So July.
4 months.
September, August.
3 months. Three and a half months, something like that. Kind of depends when the finals end, too. So, yeah, that's going to be it's gonna be interesting. Could be a rough start to the NBA season. Other news, Daryl Morey back on his feet. He'll be the franchise basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers, bringing in a new crew, huh? Got Doc now, and then they got Daryl Morey now. So it's going to be an interesting combo between the two. Do you think this is going to be successful for the Sixers?
It seems like a strange fit.
Yeah.
Because Daryl Morey, I mean, Daryl Morey, what he did in Houston was basically we're going to shoot nothing but layups and threes, right? I mean, that was his line of thinking. And you get to Philadelphia where they cannot really shoot threes.
No. Or their two best players definitely can't shoot threes when Ben Simmons and Embiid. Yeah. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
And they like he likes Daryl Morey likes making trades. And he likes reshaping rosters. Yeah. Now, I will say the thing about him is that he has been good at reshaping rosters on the fly and keeping them competitive and constantly upgrading, like without really having to mortgage too much of the future. He was able to, you know, get Dwight. He was able to get James Harden, really, with no, like, max cap space. He was able to kind of make a trade work there. He was able to go get a Dwight Howard from Los Angeles. He was able to grab a Chris Paul. He was able to do all those things without really tanking. I mean, the Rockets were able to kind of just kind of keep stay good and kind of reinvent themselves. So Morey is really sharp, and he's one of the best at handling the salary cap and dealing with things. So.
Is this bad news for Embiid, considering, like you said, they didn't want to keep the big. They were all about shooting threes and traded away Clint Capella. Could this be a potential move for Embiid?
I mean, we just saw what Daryl Morey thinks of the center position. Now, maybe he learned his lesson.
That's true.
And like, you know, and there's a difference, to be fair to Daryl Morey. There's a difference between Clint Capella and Joel Embiid.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But still, I wouldn't say similar. I guess Embiid has a little bit more of a jump shot, more of a post-up game. But still, in the paint, that's where they do their damage.
No, I know. But like, Clint Capella has no offensive game other than catch lobs. But, I mean, like, and he's not even the same defensive player Joel Embiid is. Like, I mean, he does nothing as well as Joel Embiid.
I do think it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, he's about making moves, and this offseason is expected to be crazy. So, he did sign a 5-year deal with the Sixers as well. So, got a little bit of room there with Philly going into the season as well. So that'll be interesting.
If I'm Elton Brand, I am a little nervous.
Yeah, Daryl Morey has not had the best, I would say, representation here in the last year, I guess, since the whole China incident, really.
I would say keep an eye out on Daryl Morey for your job, buddy. That's what I would say. Last bit of headlines, I guess. The Janice Jones, babysitter in Borat 2. You guys watch Borat 2 yet?
I did. I watched it actually a couple days ago.
You know, now that everyone knows
she's
that it's
awesome.
Now that everyone knows it's a joke and that it, you know, that it was a spoof or, you know, like, know the situation. Janice Jones, who came across, it's always nice in these hidden camera stuff. She was the black babysitter that was in charge of watching, I guess, Borat's daughter in the movie and basically just, like, had a heart of gold and was constantly trying to empower her and let her know that, like, hey, all this weird stuff, these weird skits, that's not the way to be. Like, you know, you can be powerful. You can do things. You don't have to let your dad control you. Stuff like that. This came across as really gentle. Well, apparently she has had a GoFundMe started in her honor and has raised over $50,000. People are trying to come
She's
through for that woman. She came across.
She was really, like, wholesome in the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Amidst all the just wild stuff going on, you're like, man, this lady's so nice. Like...
Yep.
Good for her.
Is it worth watching? What'd you say?
It was solid.
You've seen it too, right?
It depends on
It just kind of depends if you like that kind of stuff, I guess.
I didn't much care for it, but like, it was worth the watch, and it's...
It gets cringy at times, and other times you're just like, ah, that's kind of funny, and then you're like, oh, this lady's so nice.
Well, I guess the only, like, heartfelt moment of the movie, like, everything else is just making people look like jerks, and then she's here, like, trying to try to basically empower this woman and make her, like, you
like,
know...
Yeah, you don't have to do anything, like, your dad's lying to you.
Like. Yeah, like, you're just as bad. Like, try to basically take a time to teach this girl that was, like, naive and being controlled by her dad. So then people, you know, trying to... trying to help her out.
The scene where he dropped her off at their house, that actually had me cracking up, though.
Yeah.
Because she was just like, what in the world is happening right now?
She says, I'm feeling like she's from the third world, and that kind of stuff does happen where they sell women. I'm thinking this is for real, so I felt kind of betrayed by it. They told me it was a documentary for this young lady to understand she has rights and can do whatever a man can do. So I guess that's kind of what she went into it thinking. So she was trying to help, but... Maybe some good will come out of it, and she'll get a nice chunk of change to kind of help her do something. So good batch of headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Going to talk Vols and some college football and Titans with Lucas Panzeca here in about 10 minutes. But I guess we'll do our daily Cowboys segment because Draven is... Found himself angry again during the commercial break as I'm sitting here just chilling. I hear him mumbling to himself over more Ezekiel Elliott stats. So what do you have for us regarding Ezekiel Elliott, Draven? Enlighten the audience on our daily Cowboys suck segment, please.
So lowest graded running backs in week 7. Out of all the running backs, all these running backs in the NFL, they have it to 34. So they, I guess they have a couple other backs. There was a couple teams on bye weeks as well. Ezekiel Elliott coming in.
This is just 1 week?
Yes, just week 7. Ezekiel Elliott coming in at 53.5. 32. 32nd in the NFL, John. 32nd.
Nice.
One of the highest paid running backs, 32nd. Ain't that something? Ain't that something?
Keep going. What else do you got for us? You got you're still wearing the Cowboys star on your chest. You keep saying you're done, yet here you are repping the squad.
I know.
And I didn't see like your CeeDee Lamb jersey this week. I guess that zero catch for and 1 yard rush didn't get you excited about the future.
It didn't. And got rid of my Zeke jersey. I'm done with Ezekiel Elliott. I'm over it. I said during the break. Ooh. He is. He's.
What do you mean you got rid of it? What'd you do with it?
Listen, he is slow.
He got rid of it. He's slow. It's in the closet.
He is slow.
He's got his own spot in the
closet. And
he
isn't powerful. Did you see him get trucked? Trying to protect poor little Andy Dalton back there. My goodness gracious. Got a linebacker coming for Andy Dalton's head, and you think Zeke Elliott would step in? No. Zeke Elliott got absolutely destroyed. So what you're telling me, this guy has no power, no speed. What the hell is he doing out there? Can anybody explain to me what Ezekiel is doing out there?
Turning the ball over?
Fumbling. That's all he's done.
Or
this
missing
year.
Passes that lead to interceptions?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
You all right?
No, I'm not all right. That just pissed me off.
We're not that far away from you.
I was having a pretty good Wednesday, and now it's ruined.
We're not that far away from you telling me how good Ezekiel Elliott is and how he was better than Derrick Henry. We're not that far away.
Man, week one was just, what a fluke week one is. When he looked so strong and powerful, I was like, oh, here we go. He's back, baby. Ladies and gentlemen.
And the defense looked bad, but not like all-time abysmal.
No,
bad.
They looked like they could hold their own, at least. Hold their own, but no. Both have went completely south since week one, and it's just blows my mind.
I haven't seen Amari Cooper's name in a while either. Top, you know, elite receiver, as you called him.
It's hard when Andy Dalton has no time. You can't get the ball to these guys.
So
just checking.
Looking back at it, we shouldn't have paid Amari, though. You're right. Oh, we shouldn't have paid Amari.
Looking back on
it. We should have paid Robert Quinn, who, by the way, had 13 sacks last year for the Cowboys. And who's getting sacks this year? Nobody. Should have paid Robert Quinn. Should have paid Byron Jones, who was one of the top-rated corners from Pro Football Focus.
Maybe not draft CeeDee Lamb either.
Probably not. Then again, I think about it. You draft a corner, like, how good is he going to be? You draft
better for the team.
Maybe.
You need one.
You guys weren't at a position where you could just, like, hey, we're just taking the best player available. Like, you needed some good players at positions of need, like, especially when you let a defensive back go.
But then again,
Jay couldn't help himself.
If we let Amari Cooper go, CeeDee Lamb.
Is Damon Arnett any good? Has he been any good for the Raiders? No. I guess their defense is terrible.
Yeah. He's been out, too. He was on COVID, and then he got hurt.
Noah Ngabunini from Auburn, has he been any good? Jeff Gladney from TCU, I don't know if he's been any good. I know he plays for the Vikings. Yeah, yeah, I don't know if he's been any good. I'm just looking at the cornerbacks.
Noah plays for the Dolphins. He's not doing anything. Okay. The best corner, honestly, is other than in the later rounds, it's probably been A.J. Terrell.
Yeah. Terrell's been pretty good. Yeah, he's actually been really good.
He might have been even better than Okuda so far this season.
T.J. Henderson, I think, has had some moments in Jacksonville.
Week one.
Christian Fulton's hurt for the Titans. He hasn't been doing much.
He was solid early on, for sure. But, yeah, no, Terrell's actually been really good. He's definitely been better than people expected.
So you got everything out about Zeke you wanted to get out, or you got anything else to say?
I don't want
to
get any more angry. You know, okay. It's the middle of the week. I got
Jerry
got a
Jones
couple
having
more days
a meltdown on his weekly radio appearances.
All that. It's embarrassing.
Yelling at radio
point.
People to shut up because they questioned whether or not the Cowboys have any leaders as they.
And it's like, what does Jerry get mad about? Look at the team. Like, there is no leadership. Everybody's saying there is no leadership on this team. The players have said there is no leadership on this team. He gets asked about it and he jumps him. I just think that was him knowing it was true. So the only way to react when you know something is true and you don't want to admit it's true, you get angry. That's what happened.
That is what happens.
Isn't that something? Man, what a dumpster fire.
As I'm looking at this NFL draft, has Darrell Taylor done anything for the Seahawks? Has he even been
I haven't seen anything.
There's been a lot of Seahawks games on TVs, and I have not seen his name one time.
Yeah,
they're
I haven't
to trade
either.
For Everson Griffin. I mean,
he got drafted a little high Carlos anyways. Dunlap. Did he get drafted second round?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. They probably thought they were getting a guy who could help them with the pass rush. Hasn't worked out so much for him. It's still early, though. Just asking. All right, let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll grab Lucas Panzeca. We'll talk some Vols, some SEC football, some NFL football. He'll join us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Next is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run.
Had a couple tweeters write in. Appreciate them saying Darrell Taylor's on the reserve list in the NFL. Today's been hurt. So that's why we haven't seen anything from him. So that checks out. Good to know he's just been hurt and not just struggling to get on the field for a team that doesn't have a pass rush. So appreciate them for riding in, helping us out. Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's grab Lucas Panzeca. Lucas covers the Vols for Vols Wire, an SEC contributor at Saturday Down South. I guess that's all they cover is the SEC at Saturday Down South. And a good friend of mine. Lucas, how are you, my friend? Happy late birthday.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, buddy.
Did you do anything fun for your birthday?
It's a pandemic.
No,
day.
It's a pandemic. No, you
just
stay home.
Day. Yeah, that's what I did. I was in Gatlinburg on Saturday, a very socially distanced weekend in Gatlinburg.
Believe that at all.
You don't believe me?
Well, no, I just don't think Gatlinburg. I doubt Gatlinburg's taking it very seriously. I mean, I guess I could see you like in a cabin somewhere, socially distanced.
Yeah,
but.
just a little cabin weekend. But yeah, nothing. You know, I drive down Pigeon Forge, and it makes you just want to get as far away from that area as possible. So, no, very secluded weekend. It was good, though. I appreciate it.
Well, hope you had a good birthday. Tennessee did not have a good weekend, blown out by Alabama. No. What were your biggest takeaways from that?
Well, first of all, I was just cursed with having the Tennessee-Alabama game pretty much beyond my birthday weekend almost every year of my life. That has not been good. But
man,
overall, you know, Alabama did to Tennessee what they've done to pretty much everybody else this season except Ole Miss, which is kind of hilarious. But if there's anything we've learned, it's that Tennessee is good at about two things in offense. I think running the ball at times and the deep shots with Jared Garantano obviously has a good deep ball. We saw it a few times. But it's everything in the middle there. It's every creativity. It's the intermediate routes, some slants, curls, quick first down hits that they really struggle with. And now you kind of get a restart and almost a reboot of fall camp here with these next 2 weeks. Jeremy Pruitt wanted reps. He wanted practices. Well, he's got them now. What are you going to do with them for these last five games?
Jeremy Pruitt today said that they are still working on developing depth. I feel like that is a really sad statement. Is it understandable, or is it a really sad statement, in your opinion?
I mean, somewhere in the middle, because to an extent, I think it's understandable. Tennessee, now you would rather have it the way Tennessee had it. You're seeing a lot of schools now getting hit with cases, having to close down facilities in the middle of the season. Tennessee hasn't had to do that, but that all happened in preseason.
Okay, fair enough.
And in fall camp. So I think kind of able to get all that stuff out of the way, and you got to sort of play catch up. Like, every school has had to deal with this in a different way. Like, Florida having to put everything on pause for a week or two, that's not good, and then having to reboot after a hot start. I feel like no coach wants to go through that. I think you'd rather just get it all out of the way. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a good thing, but I'm not ready to use that as an indictment of Jeremy Pruitt. I think there's a lot of other things that you can do that with, but I don't know about the depth part of it.
Okay. That's an angle we did not take about it when we talked in hour one, so I appreciate Big Luke giving us some perspective. I guess I did kind of forget that, you know, this wasn't a normal fall camp, so maybe some of these younger players haven't had as much of a chance to develop. You saw that Keyshawn Lawrence is going to be getting some run at the star position. As Lucas says, they are setting up for a new quote-unquote fall camp over this next week during a bye week. What are your expectations the rest of the season? We talked to our friend Austin Burledge yesterday. He said getting to 5 wins would be pretty impressive at this point. How do you feel, Lucas, about Tennessee the rest of the way?
Well, you got to see something similar to what we saw last year after the BYU game, after the Florida game, and that turnaround. Only thing is, with these last 5 games on the slate, you don't have the South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky to finish your season with wins. You've got a good Arkansas team, a team that's looked excellent over the first few weeks, Texas A&M at Auburn, and Florida at home. Really, the only easy out in these last 5 weeks is Vanderbilt on the road. So you want to see a similar turnaround, and I think getting to 5-5 is a good accomplishment. Probably if you told any fan before the season 5-5, I think most anybody would take it.
I disagree there big time.
You disagree with that?
Yeah, I think you'd have a lot of people saying they're not taking 5-5 before the year. Now, you know, especially Lucas, whenever you see how the team came out in the first 2 games, people were talking about 7 wins being the floor. I think 5, I disagree there. I don't think people were taking that at all.
Well, after the first 2 games, absolutely. I mean, you were sitting there thinking this team has a real shot at 7-3. But, look, I don't know. I think in year 3 of Pruitt, going 5, say it was a normal season, I would think 500 in the SEC with some good non-conference wins wouldn't be best-case scenario, obviously, but I don't think it would have anybody calling for his head, depending on where those losses came. But at this stage, 5-5 is probably going to be a good thing. You've lost 3 games to this point. Now you're looking at Texas A&M at home, Florida on the road, Florida at home. It's probably your 2 toughest games left, but I want to see how they come out against Arkansas and how re-energized this team is. How similar is it to the turnaround we saw last season? Because really still the big concern with me, like the Alabama game, if Tennessee had beaten Kentucky 2 weeks ago and that exact same thing happened in the Alabama game, people would not really be panicking right now, I think. I think 7-3, people would say, is still very, very much on the table. But now that's kind of feels out the window because of the effort against Kentucky. So just seeing how this offense comes out against Arkansas is my biggest thing, how they're able to run the ball. And, look, Jeremy Pruitt all season has kind of, not to say used it as an excuse, but talked about how little these young guys, how little reps they've gotten, how much more they need to be able to be involved in the games. And then he also pretty much predicates whether or not guys get in on how they practice that week. I feel like if you're complaining about young players not getting the reps they need to be involved, what better reps can they get than in the second half against Alabama when the game's already out of hand? But at the same time, you don't want to put them in because maybe they haven't had the best week of practice. He said he doesn't want to set that standard. Players who practice the best get put in the game. I understand that, but in this season, I just feel like you miss a few opportunities there when you don't give those guys reps that obviously count for more in the second half of a game like that.
That's a good point about the practice and setting a precedent, and you don't want to reward guys who aren't going hard in practice just because the game's a blowout and you can put them in. So that is a good point. Now, I would rebuttal and say, man, like, that sounds a lot, Lucas, like you're talking about trying to instill a culture at your program, and to me that's not stuff you should be doing in year 3. Right? Like, I mean, I feel like that's year 1 stuff where, like, hey, practice hard or you don't play. I'm a little worried that we're in year 3 and we're still talking about our guys practicing hard, because I don't think you have that problem at Alabama. I don't think you have that problem at Clemson. I don't think you have that problem at Ohio State. And I get that those are the 3 best programs, but those are the teams that are setting the standard, and that should be who you're chasing. To me, that's a huge red flag that Jeremy Pruitt is talking about how guys aren't practicing hard enough to play.
Yeah, I think it can be considered a red flag how when things start to go poorly, it feels like that effort level drops a little bit, right? Because first couple weeks of the season, I mean, things are great. Trey Smith is telling media that Pruitt's attitude is contagious, spreads throughout the team. You feel good about where the young players are at. You feel good about the culture that's being instilled. Then you lose three straight games, and then the Kentucky game, you go back to that where the effort level just dropped in the second half. I mean, I don't care, you know, what metric you're looking at. It looked like that team did not want to be there in the second half, and they got kicked around by a team that they are more talented than. And to me, that just comes down to effort at some point. So when things go poorly, I'm not sure I like how this team has responded in the moment, but then last season, you saw the turnaround after the Alabama game. Can they manufacture that same turnaround with a bye week to be able to do it in? And like we said, kind of a refreshed fall camp almost mid-season. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. It does come down to culture that when things go poorly, can you sustain the attitude that you're able to keep week to week? When you lose three straight games, yeah, you don't want to be having to talk about practicing hard.
Feels like this Arkansas game is pretty monumental in Pruitt's tenure.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to be judging this Arkansas game as a real show-me game because you're talking about it. You get a reset. You get to refocus. This is a team you should have much more talent than. Really, the only reason Arkansas would beat you is straight-up coaching and effort. And that would be really disheartening for, you know, Sam Pittman, who is a first-year head coach, coming in, or at least I guess it wouldn't be coming in. You're going down there. But beating you in year one, that would be a huge indictment on Jeremy Pruitt and this program.
Yeah, huge. And Pittman, all credit to Sam Pittman. What he has done over there is remarkable. I mean, you've always heard about how players love the guy and how much he can relate to a team, but to see it have an effect on an entire roster against a team that was just so terrible in SEC play a year ago, I mean, it's really fascinating to watch. But, yeah, I mean, now you're in year three. You are very much ahead of where Sam Pittman is on paper in terms of the talent that you have. You got to go win that game. I know people throw around must win probably a little too much, but you got to go win that game, or all the negativity is just going to be like an avalanche after that, and people are just going to feel terrible about it when you come out of a bye week and you're supposed to be turning things around last five games, and Arkansas probably the second most winnable game left on the slate. Yeah, you have to go get a win. We're having a totally different conversation if Pruitt is not able to get it done at Arkansas, for sure.
I wonder if people still view Arkansas as the second most winnable game, or if they look at Auburn as a more winnable game at this point. Lucas Panzeca joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. You're out in Nashville. Just got to ask about the Titans. Lost their first game on Sunday to the Steelers. I came away still, you know, not worried about it. I thought the team kept fighting. I thought the team did some things. I think if Tennessee played Pittsburgh again, I would still feel good about their chances of winning. How did you feel about the Titans coming out of that loss?
Well, it remains to be seen if the loss will end up being a positive, because the Titans have been winning those first five games despite a lot of things. A lot of those things kind of came back to bite them in the end. Got to credit the defense, as bad as the start was, only allowing 3 second-half points, 3 interceptions of Ben Roethlisberger. At the end of the day, they gave their team a chance to win. Steven Guskowski has to make a 35-yarder to send the game into overtime. That is turning into a concern, the inconsistency. But overall, you just got to wait and see if that will turn into a positive, because this defense has to get it together in terms of the third downs, the bad starts. You just hope that this team will become more well-rounded because of it, because A.J. Brown said it afterwards. When you're winning, you're able to sweep a lot of things under the rug. Finally, you lose a game. Good fight to come back and make it a ball game and have a chance to send it to overtime, but got to have a get-right game here against the Bengals, a team that you really match up well against, at least offensively. Looking forward to see how they handle Joe Burrow with this secondary. Do they get Adoree Jackson back? That's not going to fix all their problems, but it'll help. And from now on, eyes are on this defense, because I think we are okay with the offense. They just went up against probably the best defense in the NFL to this point and struggled early, didn't get any help from defense or special teams, but did enough to come back, make it a game, make some big plays. This team will not be a Super Bowl contender if the defense continues to play the way that it has. So this Bengals game next week, got to be a get-right game for that unit.
Do you think that the Titans make any type of trade before the deadline next week?
I really don't know. I really have no idea. I mean, if it is, I would think it would be in the defensive, in the secondary.
Oh, yeah, sure,
I don't see
sure.
them. Yeah, people are talking about Everson Griffin and Dunlap. It's like they're not adding a pass rusher. They already threw a bunch of money to fix that. if it is going to be fixed, it's going to be because Clowney and Beasley are waking up and starting to come into the fold and make an impact, not because they added another guy into the mix. It's going to be in the secondary if they do anything. I don't know. Adoree Jackson's timetable has been somewhat of a mystery this season. I don't think anybody expected him to miss six games, possibly more if he can't come back Sunday. But, no, I mean, the Stephon Gilmore stuff is intriguing, but I don't know if I can see them making that move right now.
Lucas Panzeca, appreciate you joining us. We'll do it again next week. Follow Lucas on Twitter at Lucas Panzeca. He does some good work for 104.5 The Zone with their digital content. And the Vols two-a-day podcast. Did I get it right that time? Two-a-days Tennessee?
You got it.
Okay. Follow Lucas.
We did not do a podcast this week, but we'll be back next week.
Okay, you took the bye week off?
Yeah, I took the bye week off.
Lazy. I'm still here doing daily radio. You can still do your damn podcast, Lucas. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See y'all.
Lucas Panzeca joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Come back after the break. I am very excited about this Philadelphia 76ers and Daryl Morey marriage. Mm-hmm. Does get me excited. Just because I do think he has been... I mean, Daryl Morey has been at the forefront of the analytical movement in the NBA. And he has... I mean, what he has implemented in Houston is basically the entire league's mentality now. Like, his whole thing was nothing but layups and threes. And if you look, I saw a breakdown by Kurt Goldsberry, who always charts the shots. If you look at every team's, like, most popular shots they take from areas, it's all threes and layups. Like, he revolutionized the game in that regard. Now, some would say it's bad that they miss the mid-range game, that they hate just watching nothing but threes and layups. But he was on the cutting edge. Now, can he zag? Can he come up with something else? Can he reinvent himself? Can he find a new edge for the 76ers? A team that has been pretty, at least been thought of as pretty talented. I thought they were the most talented team in the East last year. Now, you know, adding Horford didn't unlock them the way I thought it would, but they still have two of the top 15 players in the league.
Yeah, roster's still full of talent.
Well, I mean, he's got two guys, I guess, full of talent. I don't know about what you think about Tobias. I feel like Tobias is good, not great. They pay him like he's elite, though.
Yeah.
And Horford, I think, at this point, is hanging on to barely be good.
Yeah.
But Morey's been able to get out of situations like that. Can he find a trade for Al Horford? Can he move a Tobias Harris? Can he create some, cap flexibility? He was able to do that in Houston. Like, they did good at finding players on the fringes. Like, he turned P.J. Tucker from a EuroLeague-only player. I mean, I don't know if he's in the EuroLeague or in Turkey or where he was. I want to say he was in Turkey, which I guess is still in Europe. Right?
Yes. Yeah, some of it. They consider themselves European.
Okay.
Their capital's in Asia, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got a little nervous whenever I said they were European. I didn't know if they were Asian.
They consider themselves European.
But, I mean, I don't know where P.J. Tucker's playing, but it wasn't here in America. Like, he had to go overseas, and, you know, they found him and brought him in. Now, you know, they brought him in from the Suns, but still, like, they were able to find a good young player, a good, you know, a player still with years left, and turn him and fit him into the system. I know they didn't find him from overseas, but they found him, you know, quickly in the NBA and said, this is what we want. They were able to find some fringe guys. They bought low on Jeff Green. They bought low on Macklemore and turned them into players. So can he still do that for the Sixers? I think so. Like, Daryl Morey was the first at also, like, kind of using their G League to get ready for the NBA. Like, there was a story on, like, the Vipers, I don't know what city they're in, but the Vipers, the Houston G League team, they made them go out there and basically shoot the nothing but threes. They made them do that before they really did in the NBA. Like, hey, we want you to shoot even faster and even more threes here in the G League, because when you come up to the NBA, what we're going to need is shooters. We're going to need you ready to do that. Can he fix this Philadelphia roster? because they got $120 million wrapped up in Embiid, Simmons, Harris, and Horford. That's a lot of money for four guys, especially whenever you look and say, like, hey, these four guys didn't win us anything last year. They don't really have any cap space other than the $5.7 million tax mid-level. Other than that, they can use that and sign minimum players, unless they can create some flexibility. They got five draft picks this year, but the highest one is 21st. And then you got four in the second round at 34, 36, 49, and 34, 36, 49, and 58. So, like, there's not a lot of draft capital. But, again, I like Daryl Morey, and I like watching him work. Can he do it again in Philadelphia? Because I do think he did some pretty good things in Houston. And the Chris Paul trade was a disaster. Not the one getting Chris Paul, but the one giving up Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, everyone says that was a an owner wanting to do that. Isn't it for what is it? Tillman? Fernando Tillman? I always forget that guy's name. I always want to call him Fernando. I always want to call him Fernando Tatis, but I know that's not his name. Something like Tillman.
Tillman for Tita.
Tillman Fertitta.
Or Fertitta.
I always want to say Tillman's his last name. But yeah, Tillman Fertitta. Yeah. Like, he was the one that wanted to get rid of Chris Paul. He was the one that wanted Russell Westbrook. That's what everyone said, even at the time. And Daryl Morey kind of had his hand forced. And that was, you know, kind of the turning point for that franchise. And now you look and all of a sudden they don't really have any flexibility. And they took a step back and you downgraded from Chris Paul to Russell Westbrook. For a Philadelphia team that needs to find its way out of the weeds and it has two talented, really talented players, I'm excited to see what he comes up with.
Am I wrong in saying the only way it's going to work is breaking up those two, though?
I'm not saying you're wrong because, like, you have a lot of proof that you're right. Like, that's an easy take to have right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the, like, Jerry Pruitt's not going to win here take. Like, you got a lot of evidence that you're right here.
Yep.
So, like, saying the Sixers are just going to continue to underachieve as long as Embiid and Simmons are your stars. So far, you've got a lot of history proving you're right. But I think there are ways around it. But, like, you're going to have to do something with Horford and Harris. Like, you're going to have to do something there. You're going to have to strike gold somewhere.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he shakes up the roster, for sure. I think you got to a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, you got to. You got to. You maxed out. You lost in the first round. Now, I know Simmons was hurt, but I don't think you're beating Boston, even with the healthy Ben Simmons.
No. Yeah.
Might not get swept.
No, you're not going to get swept. You'd have won a couple games, but you'd have lost in six games. Especially, like, and that's not even counting, like, if it was a regular season, you had to go to Boston. Like, you're not winning a game in Boston. The team can't play on the road. That team's awful on the road. But you're giving one of the most creative GMs, you're giving him a roster that has a lot of potential and a lot of moves that you can make. And to me, that's exciting as someone who likes that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a league where you see a lot of that stuff. You see trades, and he's been one of the ones that have kind of led the charge there. I'm excited to see what he can do in Philadelphia. Hour two in the books. What do we got tonight? We got Champions League firing up. Champions League firing up today. Go to mybookie.ag if you want to get in on some Champions League action. That's the only sports you got today. We have finally hit the lull in the sports calendar. Mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, you get paid. Champions League action. I know we had a kickoff already in two of the games. I believe Chelsea already kicked off, as did there's one more. I don't know who it was. But you got a I think six more games coming up at 4 o'clock. So if you want some action, go to mybookie.ag. You can use a promo code Knoxville for a 100% deposit bonus. Terms and conditions do apply. Please bet responsibly. All right, let's go to break. We'll come back. Hour three, we'll kick it off with headlines. We'll play some overrated, underrated. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.